And we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis by the first wide line. Amar Yitzchak, Shtei Lashayna Shemati. I heard halacha regarding two threads, through two red strings. Achash Apara, one was regarding the Parah Aduma, that the halacha is that we have to take Eitz Erez, the Ezoif, the Shni Salas, and throw them El Toich Sreifas Eifer Apara, has to be thrown into the Eifer Apara, into the fire. V'achash Asar Mishtalech, and one is regarding the Sar Mishtalech that we discussed yesterday, that a red string was put around its horns. Achas Tzricha Shir, one has a minimal shear, and we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem today's shear, how much is that measure. V'achas Eina Tzricha Shir, and one has no minimum, and like the Sfasemis adds, more than that, the halacha is that everything that's found in an ir hanidachas must be burnt. So the halacha says that anything that's in an ir hanidachas that's found, it's considered as if it doesn't have any value. Ketusei mech deshurim, it's already considered burnt. So if something needs a shear, anything from an ir hanidachas doesn't have any existence. If on the other hand it doesn't have a shear, you could use something from an ir hanidachas. But we don't know which of these two strings has to have a shear and which one doesn't. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Nechsi Anan. Let's try to analyze this. Shashir Sarah Mishtaleach. This thread of the Sarah Mishtaleach, the Bai Chalukah, as we explained, needs to be divided. And there's a Machlokes HaRishonim how to understand that it needs to be divided. Rashi says that the halacha is that that thread, when they got with the Sar LaZazel to the mountain, we'll talk about that about the later in the Masechta, was divided into two. Half was left around the head of the animal, around the horns of the animal, and the other half was tied around a rack. So that thread has to be divided. That's how Rashi learns. A variation of Rashi's pshat is that because we don't want the animal carrying out the thread from the Beis HaMikdash to that mountain, they had the thread prepared at the mountain from before Yom Kippur. But again, it's the same thing, and then it was divided. Another pshat is that, as we learned yesterday, there had to be a thread around the neck of the sawyer, Hanasa Bifnim, and there's a thread around the horns of the Sola Azazel. Those Rishonim said it was the same string that we began with. Just it's divided, part of it is put on the Sar LaZazel, and part of Sar Nas Bifnim, so it needs division. That's why Bar Yishir, it has a minimum amount. The Shapara, however, the string used for the Parah Aduma, the Loi Bar Yichaluka, that is not divided, Loi Bar Yishir, doesn't have any minimum requirement. Maskel for Rami Bachama asks Rabbi Bachama the Parah Nami Bar Yichavid. As we said before, the string of the Parah Aduma was thrown into the fire, so it needs some weight to fall into the fire, so it also should have a shear. Amalei Rava, so Rava responds, Kovet Tanayi. This Shaila, if the string of the Parah Aduma actually has to go into the depth of the fire, and therefore would require a shear, is a Machlokes Tanayi, which we'll learn about in a moment. Ask the Gemara, or the Parah Loibai Chaluka, is that indeed true, that the string used by the Parah Aduma doesn't need to be divided? Eisvei Abaya asks Abaya, it says in a Mishnah Masechta Parah, Ketzer Oisa, exactly how did he use the string? Karchem Bishiyari Loshen, he takes the thread, and he takes the Eitz Eroitz, and he takes the Ezov, and he ties them around with the thread. So you see that the thread has to have a minimal amount that it could be used to tie these other ingredients, so to speak. Answers the Gemara, Ema explained the Mishnah Masech the Parah Biznav Loshen. Not that the thread really needs any shear. When you make a thread, so when it comes to the end, it's like small remnants. It looks like a tail. That's all that's needed to use together with the Eitz Erez and the Ezoif. So since that's an insignificant amount, that's why Loi Bar Yishir. Ask the Rishonim, and why would I want to do it that way? Why would I want to just use this remnant? So the Meiri says a beautiful pshat. We have the Eitz Erez. We have the Ezoif. if the thread will be of significant size, will end up that the thread will completely obscure the Eitz Erais and the Ezois. But the Torah wants them all to be visible. So that's why the Gemara is saying, use the Znav Lashon, just use the end, and the other items will still be evident. Amrav Chanan, Amrav, Eitz Erois, Vishni Talas. If you have the Eitz Erois in this thread, Shekaltason Shalhavis, if there's a flame, and they're only singed by the flame, Ksheir, that's considered that you did the Avoida properly. Meisvei asked the Gemara, there's another brice that says, Nishavev Aloshin, if this thread was only singed, maybe Loshin Acher, then you have to bring another red thread, Umekadesh, and do the Avoida, because if it was only singed, you have not done the Avoida properly. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai Loikasha, Kamba Kalachas, Kamba Nechfefes. So this is the way Rashi explains the Teretz. When you have a fire, Kalachas, that's a high fire, so since you have a very high fire and the thread just touches the tip of the fire, that's not considered acceptable because it didn't go el toich sreifas eifapar, it didn't go into the fire. On the other hand, when you have a nechfefes, a low fire, so by the time the thread hits the fire, it's in the fire. So even though it got only singed, it's considered that it was in the fire and it's kosher. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Hashanim learns just the opposite. When the fire is big, so if something touches the fire, that means it's in the fire. But when you have a low fire, so you don't really have a fire. So if something goes into that fire, it's not considered as if it wasn't a fire. That's one teretz. Rava says a different teretz, which will reflect something that the Gemara mentioned earlier. Rava Amar, Kaiva Tanaihi, the machlaikis of something only touches the tip of the flame. Is that considered burnt or not? Goes back to the machlokes that the Gemara spoke about earlier. Does it have to go into the fire? Do you need heaviness? Do you need weight that it should go into the fire? The Tanya, Lo Makarchon, why would these items all tie together? According to Rebbe, we just want them to be in one bundle. Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon, on the other hand, says, we want that they should have weight, they should go into the fire. So therefore, the Manda Omer that says that if it's singed, it's enough, because he doesn't need kovet, he doesn't need weight, he doesn't need it to go into the fire. On the other hand, the man, the armor that says that it has to go into the fire, because he also needs kovet, and needs weight, and has to go into the fire, anything less will not be acceptable. Continues the Gemara. Kasar Abdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sholos L'shayna Shemati. I heard Allah regarding three threads. Achash al-Para, one is about the Para Aduma, which we've been discussing today. Achash al-Shara Mishtaleach, which we've been discussing today and yesterday. V'achash al-Metzaira. In the purification process of the Metzaira, he has to bring a red thread. As Taisus, there's a fourth thread. There's the thread that was put on the Sar HaNasa B'fnim. We learned yesterday that a thread was put around the neck of the animal that was Sar LaShem to differentiate it from all the other animals. So why doesn't the Rafdimi say there are four threads? So a number of answers are given. One answer is that since the entire purpose of that thread only is to serve as a simon to differentiate it from all the other animals, that's not considered that it requires a thread. That's one answer. Another answer goes back to something we said earlier in the shiur. We said earlier in the shiur, it wasn't that they bought two threads, one for the Sar La'azaz and one for the Sar B'fnim. We said it was one thread that was used for both. So once we mentioned the Sar HaMishtaleach, so that thread is already included. And a third teretz, very interesting teretz that some Rishonim say, is that here the Gemara is retracting from what we learned yesterday. Yesterday we had a discussion, what does it mean in the Mishnah, so the Gemara explained yesterday, it means that we put a red thread around the neck of the Sar La'ashem. But the Gemara yesterday also said that it may mean that we just put that sar in the place where it's slaughtered by an ulam mizbeach. Say to Rishonim, the Ravdimi holds like that. The lanit chshat keneged beishritosa means that we put the sar l'ashem by an ulam mizbeach, and we don't put a thread on it. So we don't put a thread in it. That's why Ravdimi doesn't mention it. Achas, one of these threads, mishkal sar zuz, weighed 10 zuz. V'achas mishkal shnei slaim, one weighed 2 slaim. V'achas mishkal shekel, one weighed a shekel. V'ainly l'farsh, but I can't explain which thread weighed how much. She asked Ravin, so when Ravin came, Pirshmish made Rabbi Yonason. He explained in the name of Rabbi Yonason. Shapara, the para weighed asarazos. Shall sawyer weighed saram shtalech weighed shnei slaim. But shall metzayra weighed at center mishkal shekel. So the Meiri's approach to this Gemara is that there's no real svara to say why anything weighs a certain amount. These were halach l'mosh m'sinai. This is what they knew, that this is how much it has to weigh. Now with a reasoning. However, most Rishonim don't take the Meiri's approach. And they explain, by every item, perhaps why it should weigh that much. But I saw a beautiful pshat by the Sar HaMishtaleach that it should be shnei sloim. The Tosfos Rishonim asks, why two sloim? Even if you have to divide it, like we explained at the beginning of the shiur, one seller should be enough. So the Tosfos Rishonim says, that as we learned earlier at the beginning of the parak, that thread, there was a nes, it turned white. And they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them for their averus. So they purposely wanted a larger thread, l'fasumi nisa, that everybody should see the nes. But then I saw a beautiful teretz from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says, why do we bring a Sar Mishtaleach on Yom Kippur? He said it's a kapara for the averus that the Shvatim sold Yosef. So on Yom Kippur, every year, to commemorate, and we should have a kapara for that avera, we bring the Sar Mishtaleach. What does the Gemara say? Rashi quotes the Gemara. How did the entire story of Yosef's Mechira begin? Bishvil Mishka Shnei Sloim, because of the Ksonis Pasim that Yaakov made for Yosef. That was worth two Sloim more than the coats, the suits that he made for all the Shvatim. That's how the entire story unfolded, that was Mechiras Yosef. So we make a Mishkal Shnei Slime. We take the thread, it should be Mishkal Shnei Slime, to remember how the story of Yosef all began. Amar Rav Yochanan, Pligibar of Shimon ben Chalafta Rabbanan Beparo. Does Machloik of Shimon ben Chalafta Rabbanan Beparo? How much the weight of the Paro was? Charam a Mishkal Asara. One says that it was 10. The charam a mishkal, and the other one says the weight was only a shekel. The simonach, to remember what the machlokes is. Echra ma'ariv achra mamet. Many times we find the lashon, as long as it doesn't make a difference. A ma'ariv, you do much, or you do a mamet, you do a little. Or vat shichav and libel shmaim. Here too, there are two extremes. One says it was the highest, the heaviest, 10, and the other one says it's the lightest. It was a shekel. So Tosfos Yerushalmi explains what's the basis of the machlokes. Either the basis of the machlokes is that the man d'omer that says it was 10 requires kovet, that it should have a weight, whereas the man d'omer that doesn't require, that only shekel, says there is no requirement for kovet, so it could be only a shekel. Or they could perhaps both agree that kovet is necessary, and the machlokes is how much does it have to weigh to accomplish kovet. Omlei Rav Yirmi Medifti. So Rav Yirmi Medifti said to Ravina, "Lovei b'har pligi. There's no machlokes about para. Where is the machlokes? El b'sar mishtaleach pligi. It's regarding the sar mishtaleach. Was the sar mishtaleach 10 or a shekel?" Says the Gemara, "Vahu yoyim noch nashei the Ravi Bakisei." That day when they had this discussion in the Beis Medrash, Ravi Bakisei passed away. Vanche Beis Manas. So they used that as a simon. Ravi Bakasi Mechaper, Ravi Mechasi was a tzaddik, and we know Mises Tzaddikim Mechaperas, when tzaddikim die, it's a kapara, and Kesir Mishtaleach, and the Sir Mishtaleach is a kapara. That's how they remembered that the Machlek is about the Sir Mishtaleach. So, the Rishash asks, this is a Machlek is Tanon. Ravi Bakisi was an Amira. So how can we say that the day that Tanoim had a Machlekes, Ravi Bakisi, the Amira died, the Amirahim were hundreds of years later? So he answers, it's not referring to the machlokes. The machlokes are machlokes tanoim. When we say Ravi Bakisei passed away, it's referring to the day that Rav Yirmi Medifta, who was an Amira, spoke to Ravina, who's an Amira, and Ravi Bakisei was their contemporary. But ask the Tosfos Yerushalmi a different question. He says, why was the raya that the machlokes is about Sar Mishtaleach, but Sar Mishtaleach is mechaper, and a tzaddik's niece is mechaper? But the Parah Adum is also Mechaper. The Gemara says that why is the Parsha Miriam near the Parsha of Parah Aduma? Kishem she Misa Tzadikim Mechaperis, Parah Adum Mechaper. So what kind of a proof is that the Misa Tzadikim is a proof that we're talking about Sar Mishtaleach? It could be just as much as a proof that it's Parah Aduma. So one Teretz, the Tosfos Yerushalmi says, You're right. He says, Ein zeh simin gomer. It's not such a conclusive proof. But then he says another teretz. He says, Sar ha-mishtaleach is a mechaper, because it brings forgiveness. Misa sadikim is a mechaper. Para aduma is not a mechaper. Para aduma is a metaher. Purification and forgiveness are not synonymous. And therefore, Misa Sadikim is like Sar Mishtaleach, not like Paraduma. Omer Rav Yitzchak, says Rav Yitzchak, Shtei Shchita Shemati, I heard halacha regarding two places where something has to be slaughtered. Achas Shal Paro, one is the slaughter of the Paraduma, the Achas Shal Paroi, and one is regarding the par that we're speaking about in this parak that the Kohen Gadol brought. Achas Ksher Bazar, one may be slaughtered by a zar, v'achas p'ful bazar, one may not be slaughtered by a zar, v'lo yidana haymanayu, but I don't know which is which. Itma, says the Gemara, shchitas para upara, regarding the shchita of the paraduma and the par of the Kohen Gadol, there's a machlokes Rav Shmuel, charam a para p'sula, that the paraduma may not be slaughtered by a zar, paroi, the par of the Kohen Gadol k'sheira. The Charamor, and one says Paroi, the Shchit of the Par of the Kohen Gadol Psula, Paro, the Shchit of the Paradum is Ksher. Says the Gevur Sari, that although the Gemara is using the same terminology, it's not really, the Halach will not be identical. Burig explains. According to the Manda Omer, that says that the Par of the Kohen Gadol may be slaughtered by a Zor, that doesn't mean that's only b'diavad. Everybody agrees the lechatchila, the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, should be slaughtered by a Kohen Gadol. The machloikas here is b'diavad. If the Kohen Gadol didn't do it, is it kosher or not? In fact, the Rishonim take the machloikas one step further. That the machloikas is not only, some Rishonim say that the machloikas is not only by the power of the Kohen Gadol, the machloikas is even by the Karma Tamid. We're according to the Manda Omer that the power of the Kohen Gadol, even with the Eved, has to be slaughtered by the Kohen Gadol, so too will be the Din by the Karban Tamid, that even with the Eved, the Rashba says, has to be slaughtered by the Kohen Gadol. Others say we don't go that far, and the Tamid, certainly with the Eved, can be, if it's not by the Kohen Gadol, will be kosher. Whereas, if we say that the Parah Duma is kosher bizarre, their zor would mean that even lechatchila, at least at this point of the Gemara, a Yisrael is a lot of shechta paraduma. So although the Gemara is using the same word zor, the halacha will not be identical. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says we have a machloikas Rav and Shmuel. One says that the paraduma has to have a koyin, maybe not even a koyin, but maybe even more specific. We'll see. And one says it's the par of the Kohen Gadol, but we don't know who said what. Says the Gemara to Stayim, I'll prove to you the Rav who the Omer par psula, that it's Rav that holds that the par aduma must have a Kohen and it's possible with a Zor. Dom Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira said Shchitas par psula bazar, that the Shchita par aduma is possible if it's done by a Zor. Vom Ravala, and Rav explained Rav Zeira's psak, because Alazar v'chukah sheninaba, that since the Torah uses the word Alazar, Alazar was the Skan Kohen Gadol, and the Torah also uses the word chukah, and as we learned many times, when the Torah uses the word chukah, it's trying to teach us that it's ma'akev, that it's essential that it be done that way. That's how I know that it must be done by Alazar. Anyone else will be possible. Ask the Gemara, if that's your line of reasoning, Paroi Nami, when we talk about the power that's Nasa B'Fnim, Haksiv Aaron V'Chuka, it also says Aaron V'Chuka, so therefore it should be possible with a Zor. And you're saying the Rav says that only the Paraduma is possible Zor, not the power of Kohen Gadol. Ask the Rishonim, that at the beginning of this parak, we quoted a Machloikas of Yehuda and Nechemya, which we're going to talk about more on Daf Samach, where Rav Yehuda said that any avoider that's done in the Big Day Lovin, but is done b'chutz, not in the Kotche Kotchim, is not essential. So yes, it says Aaron. Yes, it says Chukah. But this is an avoider that's done b'chutz. The Shechita is done b'chutz. So that's not where it says Chukah. Answered Rishonim, that since the Shechita is letzayrich pnim. What is the purpose of the shechita? That it should be used inside, the blood will be used inside the base mikdash, inside the kachim actually. So even though the actual shechita is done b'chutz, it's considered like an avodas pnim. So if you're following this line of reasoning, ask the Gemara, so just like the paraduma, because it says a lozer v'chuka, you're saying it has to be done by a lozer, so you should say the same thing by the power of the Klein Gadol, where it says Aaron and chuka, it should have to be done by the Klein Gadol, no one else. Answers the Gemara, shechita lav avoidah. As we've learned many times, shechita is not considered an avoidah. And there are two explanations in the Rishonim how to explain this. One is shechita is lav avoidah, because as we learned many times, by all kachshim, that loch is shechita k'sher b'zar. So since shechita is k'sher b'zar, it's not considered an avoidah. Another approach I saw in the Rishonim, beautiful approach, is shechita is not an avoidah because shechita is not limited to kachshim. Kabbalah, Zrika are all avoidahs that are only done by kachshim. Shechita is not limited to kachshim. Whenever somebody wants to eat a kosher piece of meat, he has to have shechita. So it's not considered an avoida. So ask the Gemara, if shechita is not an avoida, and that's why I don't need a kohen or a kohen gadol, yachad paranami, by the power of Adam, it's also not an avoida. So why do you say that I need a lozer? Answers the Gemara, shani para de kachshim kerebeke baisi. Para is not a regular kachshim mizbeach, it's kachshim bedek abayis, and as Rashi explains, and bedek abayis and kachshim bedek abayis, we don't start differentiating and making distinction between the different avoiders. All the avoiders are the same. Ask the Gemara, v'laf kol b'kein hu. So let's learn a kashke. If by kachshim bedek abayis, this way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. If by kachshim bedek abayis, which is a lower level of kedusha, we're insisting that who does the shechita, which is para, we're insisting that who does the shechita, the kayin. So by kachshim mizbeach, which is a higher level of kedusha, we should certainly require it. The Rebbe Yochum is a Rishon learns the other way. If we see that by kachshim mizbeach we don't need a kayin, then by kachshim bedek abayis we certainly shouldn't require kayin. But we'll learn with the first approach. Amar Hashesh Brei Ravidi, that's not a question. Mida da hava maris nagoyim, just like we see by maris nagoyim, if a kohen is called to check if a person is afflicted with a nega, the lava avoidahi, that's not an avoida, or by kahuna, and requires kahuna, here too, although it's only kachshim bedek abayis, it will require a kohen. So the Chazon Ish says a very bechiddush based on this Gemara. And it's in counter distinction to what Tosfos Yeshanim says. Tosfos Yeshanim says that if you're going to say that shechita paraduma requires a kayin, it will require that the kayin put on the big day kahuna, and it will require that he use his right hand because it's a full-fledged avoider. Says the Chazon Ish, not true. The Chazon Ish says that since from where are we learning that the paraduma requires a kohen for the shechita. We're learning it from Maris Nagon. When a kohen goes to check a nega, does he have to wear the begadim? No. So he won't have to wear, if that's the source, he won't have to wear the begadim, he won't have to wear the big dekuna when he does the shechita paraduma. And if the source, says the Chazon Ish, is from there, then he won't have to use the right hand, because it's not really an avoida. And you could even use your left hand, perhaps. We'll have to see if how the Chazon Ish works for the Gemara that we'll learn tomorrow, but it's a big chiddush the Chazon Ish. Ask the Gemara, Ul Shmuel da Amar Para Psula, according to Shmuel that says that the power of the Kohen Gadol may not be done with a Zar, Maishna Para, what do you call it? By the Para, we're saying that it requires a Kohen because the Ksiv Aram Chuka. That's how we know it needs a Kohen. Paranami Haksiv Allah's Vachuka. So how could you not require Shmuel, a Kohen, by the paraduma? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Shmuel will answer, because the Pasuk says, V'shachat Oysa Lefanov, that the paraduma should be slaughtered in front of a lazar. What is the Torah teaching us? She azar shaychit v'lazar roya. Not that a lazar does the shechita, a lazar only has to watch. That's how Shmuel proves that a lazar did not have to do the shechita in the paraduma. Ask the Achroinim, and what will be the halacha? According to Shmuel, yes, the pasuk is teaching us that a lozer doesn't have to do the shechita. But what will be the halacha if a lozer wants to do the shechita? Is he allowed to? Or is the Torah telling us that a lozer should watch and not do? So the sefer, I saw a sefer called Chukas Hayam, And he says that not only doesn't Elazar have to do the Shechita according to Shmuel, he's not allowed to do the Shechita. And I perhaps saw a nice explanation why not. From the Shavs of Tshuvas Yehuda Yala, that was Rabbi Yehuda Asad. He was the Sadehel Rav. He explains like this. Normally, the Gemara says, in a number of places, how could a Shechit, who's only one person, be trusted when he says an animal is kosher? An animal has a chazaka that it's not kosher. When an animal is alive, it's Eva Menachai. So Shaykhid is only one aid. The halacha is that Roiv Shaykhidim Amum Chahim. Most people who shek know what they're doing, and we can rely on that Roiv against the chazaka that the animals trace. But here we have two chazakas. We have the chazaka that the animal is an Eva Menachai, and we also have a chazaka that the person is Tamei. Here, the Torah requires two people. That's why you need the Shaykhit, and the Torah tells us the Shaykhit is not enough. You have a Lazar there too. The Rav, and according to Rav, that a Lazar did have to Shecht, what's he going to do with this Pasuk? He says the Pasuk teaches us that he should not stop, he's not allowed to take his mind off it. The Shmuel, that uses the pasuk to teach me that Elazar watches and somebody else shechts. How will he know? How will he know that Hesach Adas is possible? Says the Gemara, Naftali Musarav as a part of Leinov. Leinov, he should pay attention. And the Chazon Ish says that Hesach Adas has two meanings here. One is the old Pshat Hesach Adas that we have throughout Shas. You have to pay attention, keep your mind on it. And another explanation of Hesach Adas is based on a Gemara we'll learn tomorrow, that you have to be careful that it's done properly, only one person work with it, not two animals be carried out at the same time. Hesach Adas means to make sure that you do it properly. The Rav, and according to Rav, Chad B'Shechita, one pasuk is referring that Hesach Adas is possible for the Shechita, and we have another pasuk for the Sreifa. Is the question, why do I need two psukim to teach me the same din? The Tzricha. Dikos Rachmanu B'Shechita, had the Torah only told us by Shechita that Hesach Adas is possible, I would say Mishum that Chilas Avoidehi. Shechita is very important, it's the first Avoidah. Ava Sreifa, burning it, Eimaloi, it's not the first Avoidah. That's what the Torah has to tell to me by Sreifa. Because Rachman was Sreifa, had the Torah only told us by Sreifa that Hesach Adas is possible, Vishum Hashdu the Miskasher Paro. That is the main Avoida, burning the ash. Aval Shechita Eimaloi, it's not such a crucial Avoida. That's why Rav says I need a Pasuk both by the Shechita and by the Sreifa. Lemutei Mai, to exclude what? So there's a few ways the Rishonim explain this. One way is, if everything involving the Paro Aduma Hesach Adas is possible, so I would only have to say it once and extrapolate from there. Or a variation of that pshat is, what if everything is Hesach Adas is possible, why did the Torah choose to teach us that din only by significant avoidas? By the Shechita, which we just said is the first avoida, by the Sreifa, which we said is the main avoida, you should have taught it to us by one of the minor avoidas. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn on the basis of a pasuk that says l'mashmeris, regarding another avoida. So why did the Torah have to keep on repeating that Hesach Adas is possible? It must be to teach us that in certain situations Hesach Adas is possible, and in other situations Hesach Adas is not possible. L'mutimai, so exactly in which avoida is Hesach Adas not a disqualification? Ilameima, if you're going to perhaps say lemute as safas afra, when you collect the ash, umilu mayim lekiddush, or when you mix the ash with the water, that can't be, because the Torah says lemeshmeres lemei nidiksev. Lemeshmeres means that they have to be watched. That hesach adas is possible. So which avoida is hesach adas not a disqualification? Lamute hashlochas eitz eres v'shneid talas the lav goof the parinu, that they're not the essential avoida, and therefore if there was hesach adas it doesn't disqualify it. Itma, so it repeats the Gemara the shaila that we began this sugya with, shchitas para bazar, shechting the para duma by non kayin is a machloikus. Rav Ami amik sheira, Rav Yitzchak Nafka amik psul. Ula ama kshera, Ula says it's kasha. V'amrila, and others say that Ula held it was psula. Maser Rav Yeshua bar Abba l'siyula Rav. What the Gemara now is going to do is Rabbi Shuva Ab is going to quote quite a long brisa that he says proves that Rav, who holds that the Shechita Para Aduma by the Zohar, is possible. Because it says in the brisa, Ein li ela hazos meimel, I would only know that the sprinkling of the water of the Para Aduma, she'enik sher b'isha b'kibish, that may not be done by a woman, because the Torah explicitly says ish, a man has to do it. Venk sherm el b'yoyim, and only may be done by day, because the Torah uses the word hu yischat boy b'yoyim hashlishi, it has to be done by day. Menayin l'rabbis, how do I know to include shchitasoy, the shchita of the paraduma, kabbalah stoma, receiving the blood of the paraduma, hazdar stoma, spritzing its blood, srefasoy, vashlochas etz erez v'ezoy, that we began to share with, v'shnitolas, shlochas etz erez v'ezoy v'shnitolas, throwing them all into the fire, all must be done by day and by a male. Tamalai m'tayra, the Torah uses the word tayra to include all of these avoidas, that they must be done by day and they must be done by a male. Yochel shnimar ba'afasirfas afro, that even gathering the ash, umila mayim v'kiddush, or preparing the whole mixture, that they also have to be done by day and by a male. Tamalai m'zois, the Torah uses the word zois to say no. Ask the Bryce of the obvious question. Umaris Larabasus Elu, why do I say that these avoiders have these requirements? Ula Haitsi as Elu, and I exclude the other avoiders? Answers the Brysa. Acha Shiriba Kosef Umiyat. We have one pasuk that says Torah, which comes to include. We have another pasuk Zois, which comes to exclude. Amrit, so we say, Harini Lumaidum Kulam Azos Meme. We compare them all to the spritzing. It's an avoided must have a male. And therefore, we also say that the Torah says explicitly. I extrapolate by all of these avoiders, the Torah explicitly says that they must be done by a male, not by a female. So therefore I choose those avoiders as the avoiders to compare to Hazor, that just like Hazor must be done by a male, not a female, so too these things that I know explicitly from the Torah must be done not by male, by male and not by a female, I'll also compare them, can't be done by night. But I will exclude Asifas Afra Milamai Vikidish Hoyalik Sharon Vishikabish, since the Torah never required that they be done by a male, I'll also say that just like the Torah didn't require that be done by a male, I'll also say Ksherim Nami Biyoim Belaila. So that's the Brisa. So what's the Brisa saying? That says like we see that a female is possible for the Shechita, Rav Yeshua Bar Abba is extrapolating, so too a Zohar is possible. Ask the Gemara, V'hai mai tiyufta. Let's understand Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba's question. Ilema, are you going to say, midipsun be'isha, since the Braisa clearly tells us that a woman is disqualified as Shechita, it's a proof that psulun nami b'zohar, that a Zohar is also disqualified, hazos my metachich, I'll prove to you that that's incorrect. Shepshulun be'isha, that a woman is disqualified, v'ksherim b'zohar. So just because a woman is disqualified doesn't mean a zohar is disqualified. So we go back to our question, we go back to trying to understand what Rabbi Shuvar Abba's point is. Rabbi Shuvar Abba is trying to prove that Rav is right, that Rav is correct when he said that it's possible bizarre. So what's his proof? Because a woman is disqualified. So ask the Gemara, women and zohar don't travel together. What's the proof that women and Zohar don't travel together? Hazor. That women are disqualified and the Zohar is kosher. So what's your point? Says the Gemara. Omer Abaya, Hanit Yufti. This is Rabbi Shuvar Abba's point. Isha Maitama. Why Taka is a woman disqualified from the Shechita? Because we follow the Pasuk that says Alozer. Alozer was a male. A loss of a laisha. So I say dafka male, not a female. So says Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba, if I'm using a lozer as the pasuk to prove that a woman is disqualified, and that the Braisa clearly holds that a woman is disqualified from Shechita, the same pasuk I'll say a lozer v'leizar for the Shechita, and that lozer v'leizar cannot do the Shechita. So this Braisa clearly learns from the word alozer. What's my proof that this Braisa clearly learns from a lozer? Could that's how the Braisa knows that an Isher may not do the Shechita? So the same way you can learn from the word alozer that an Isher is possible, I could also learn from the word alozer that a Zar is possible.